You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, the Lakers are losing. They just keep on losing. They've lost, what, eight of their last ten. They have a tough season going up ahead of us. This probably isn't going to be a cheerful podcast. Why don't you go ahead and preview what we're going to talk about? Because it's always me, and when it's a bad one, everybody yells at me.
Yeah, that's fine. Everyone you ever loved and ever will love is going to die at some point, and including your pets, your friends, your family, your loved ones.
And the Lakers are going
to everyone and everything dies. Hope is pointless.
Or gets milkshake ducked and then dies.
Yes, exactly. And then dies. Like in the case of, I'm assuming, Sister Jean any day now.
Oh man, we got move away. Abort.
People, yeah, that's what I'm saying. People, you are not allowed to go and look up regrettable things about Sister Jean.
All right, today's show, because the Lakers lost again. They lost to the Utah Jazz, and after the game, Luke Walton gave an update on Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball that honestly was just a huge Draymond to the nuts. So we're gonna talk about like this. The way that the Lakers look to be finishing this season isn't great. it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And I think it's kind of sort of it's worth talking about whether or not how important finishing strong was in the first place. And if they aren't able to do that, as it looks like they probably aren't, their next game is against San Antonio, who is in the playoff hunt. Minnesota, also in the playoff hunt. They play that same Utah team that they lost to tonight again. And then they play the Houston Rockets, who might be resting players at that point, maybe. And maybe the same goes for the Clippers, who are probably going to be out of the playoff picture by the time that the Lakers play them. But they could potentially go into the season losing if they've lost eight of their last 10 and they have 5 games left. They could go into the end of the year having lost 13 of their last 15 games. That's not how you want to finish. Yeah, and eight straight. That's not how you want to finish. And it turns out when they're sitting at the table with free agents this year, it's kind of important. So that's what we're going to talk about. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at HM Fagan. I'll throw you a bone just because it's so. This might be a dark. I might go to a dark place with this podcast. I can't lie.
That's fine. They'll know to at me and just be like, at HM Fagan, tell Anthony to stop. And I can't, guys. I'm sorry.
And
I
that
say it
one
time, and time again.
And that one dude who keeps on adding me and putting in the iTunes reviews how disrespectful it is that I don't say Harrison's at. There you go, buddy. You're welcome. You loser. All right. So
thank you, sir. Thank you, kind listener, sir or ma'am. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Just like I appreciate all of our listeners. Anthony, I think, hates you guys.
All right. So the Lakers, like I said, they might finish having lost 13 of their last 15. At one point, it looked like maybe the Lakers could jump up and win 37-38 games this year.
I recall a certain podcast where you said you thought the Lakers would win, what was it, 41, 39?
No. I didn't. I said there was a scenario, but I didn't.
No. You went pretty strong.
Had I known that Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram were just going to be held out of,
I'm not a fortune teller, Anthony. I just know that I'm just a past teller, and I know that you in the past had a regrettable take.
I hope, I really hope that the Lakers get fined for tanking. Like, that's just
no. If the Mavs didn't get fined for tanking last Friday, then the Lakers aren't getting fined for tanking. I mean, we didn't get the podcast about that because it was, you know, it was a weekend, and we don't come out with episodes on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. But good Lord, man, like,
yeah,
that lineup the Mavericks played in the second half was just sad.
There was, a dude who looked like a palm tree. Yeah, that was that. That was a lineup so bad it wouldn't make the G League playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I don't think that team makes the Final Four, to be completely honest.
Okay, that team makes they're still NBA players.
Are they?
Yeah.
I mean, only because the Mavericks exist, right?
Yeah, like that's true.
They aren't NBA players in any other city. All right, so the Lakers, I guess we should really briefly touch on the game against Utah.
Should we?
I guess the only positive I'll make about it, and I think this is worth pointing out, is that they did play
Kyle hard. Kuzma. Oh. Yes, they did play hard.
We were concerned that they were going to finish the season kind of lackadaisically, not really trying that hard, but they force overtime against Milwaukee. Sure, they lose to Sacramento, but that's a close game. And then they lose a fairly close game to Utah in Utah, 117-110. So at least they're playing hard. Right. Even with the injuries and all that, at least they're playing hard. We'll see how long that lasts. But at least right now, it looks like they're competing.
And that was something that Luke Walton has talked about. He wants to make sure that for the fans, for the people that are showing up in the building, for like everyone, he says this team owes it to themselves to play hard. And I would agree with that. I think like as a young team, you can't just rest on your laurels. And that's something that, you know, Luke kind of talked about there that was important. And like you know, you see it in the stats tonight. It was actually kind of insane stat from tonight's game. Everyone on the bench for the Lakers has a positive plus minus, and everyone in the starters is double digit negative.
Ouch.
Like, that's not indicative of who was the best players, I wouldn't say.
No.
I thought Kyle Kuzma was really good tonight and helped the Lakers, but just the Jazz starters were a lot better.
Yeah.
And that's who he spent the majority of his time against. But I was impressed with him. I thought KCP had a decent game. I continue to be impressed with Alex Caruso, despite, like, not a big box score. I think he's a better defender than I would have guessed, like, coming into Summer League. And I'll just, you know, I'll, like, hand to the sky, I'll cop to that. It's because he's white. I just, like, you know, just looking at him, you would not assume defensive dynamo with, like, the bald spot. But he's pretty good. And I thought the whole team continued to play hard despite just being massively, massively overmatched.
In Utah.
Yeah. Even Tyler Ennis played well.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm just saying, 10 points, 5 assists, 50% shooting. 7 rebounds. Tyler Ennis was on triple-double watch.
Saddest triple-double watch of all time.
Can you imagine if Tyler Ennis got a triple-double, like, down the stretch? Like, in terms of...
We'd have to go back scenario, and take away Russell Westbrook's MVP from him.
Like, things that we could guess, like, things that we never would have guessed heading down the home stretch of the season, that would be near the top of the list.
Yeah, I would imagine so. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about the way that the Lakers might finish this season. We're going to talk about how important it was in the first place and if that stuff still holds true or if we're playing the result in potentially saying that maybe it didn't in the first place. That here in a bit. So heading into the stretch, right, whether it was 15 games to go, whatever it was, we kind of said, or I made the point a few times over that stretch, that it was important that the Lakers finish strong here because those wins are something that Magic and Pelinka and Luke and the entire organization can present to Paul George, LeBron, whomever. That's something tangible that they can offer up. Now, they did make tangible and indisputable progress this year in terms of wins, but if they do finish the year losing 13 of 15, like, that's going to be tough to, you know, it's kind of like we talked about Mitch Kupchak and the Mozgov and Deng contracts there. Like, that's going to be an awkward pause, right?
No, exactly. Like, if they're going into it brings back the age old lesson that you learn from the tortoise and the hare and your first girlfriend. It's not about how you start. It's how you finish. And like, the Lakers are not finishing well right now.
No. So I got to ask a question, though, like, do you think that was something that we overvalued looking ahead to potentially finishing strong? Or, you know, is it the other way around where we might say it's not as valuable because it looks like the Lakers might not finish strong. It just
no. I think how you finish the season matters a lot more. Even the like. So, okay, so I have two schools of thoughts on this. I think how you finish this season probably matters more to free agents because it's, you know, like it's what they remember. It's what have you done for me lately? I think how you finish the season is less meaningful from a, like, future progress perspective just because so many teams start to phone it in down the stretch. The Lakers this year haven't really been one of them, but in past years, we saw they were one of them. The Dallas Mavericks, like we said, are playing a G League team for most of their games because they're trying to get into this tank race. The Suns are actively tanking. The Nuggets aren't trying to tank. They just are.
The Kings. But,
yeah, the Kings. There are lots of teams that want to lose games down the second half. So I think if you're projecting future progress, don't worry as much about the young guys not playing as well and not winning as many games down the stretch, mainly because the best two young guys are injured right now. But I think to free agents, this will matter. And if the stat is going around heading into free agency, oh, the Lakers lost 8 of their last, or like 13 of their last 15. Like, how is that going to get LeBron? LeBron's going to hear about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Paul George is going to hear about that. And those are going to be stats that, for whatever it's worth, are batted in their face. And I think it does matter.
Isn't it fair to kind of sort of question? So it depends, right? You're talking about a head injury with Brandon Ingram. Like, we know how important and potentially dangerous that stuff is, thanks to the NFL, just putting people getting murdered in front of us. We get Lonzo Ball is dealing with the knee contusion, right? And something you don't want to have with him is you don't want him to step wrong, and that could lead to, you know, an injury that halts his development in the offseason, right? Like, obviously you don't want to be stupid about these guys' futures, considering they are the future of the organization. But in being so conservative and being so long-sighted, is it actually to a certain extent short-sighted, right? Because, like, if Luke Walton says after the game that they're anticipating not getting those guys back, that seems kind of crazy to me. I mean,
so some of that I think has to be, you have to plan like you're not going to get those guys back because you have to keep the team engaged and feeling like this is the squad matters. We have. We got to be ready to roll with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that to some degree that matters. I think the other thing that you have to keep in mind is Ingram's in the league concussion protocol, which means it's not even up to the Lakers whether or not he plays. It's like once you have a concussion, it's out of the team's hands. It's in the hands of an independent doctor. And so when Ingram is ready to play or not is not something the Lakers can control with their caution. So I think like there's that to keep in mind. The Lonzo thing, you can say like maybe they're being a little bit overcautious with him, and is that going to be short-sighted? I don't know, but what I do know is that point guards and knee injuries, really any NBA player and knee injuries, you don't really want to mess with. And so you don't want him coming back for some, you know, I don't want to call them meaningless because I just said why they're meaningful. But in the grand scheme of things, Lonzo not injuring his knee again, I think would be a lot more meaningful for the Lakers' future than if he comes back, injures his knee, has another injury, has to sit down, and then you start to get that narrative attached even more to you of this guy's injury prone. I don't know if I want to team up with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, that's again something that they're going to talk about this very offseason, right? Like, wait, the big selling point on me coming, if I'm Paul George, the big selling point on me coming to LA is I get to play with Lonzo Ball, I get to play with Brandon Ingram, and I get to lift up this entire organization and be the face of getting the Lakers back to the place that the fans expect of the Lakers always to be. And yet, you know, you got to wonder, all right, well, is Lonzo going to miss half the year again next year? Is Ingram going to miss a chunk of the, cause didn't Ingram miss some time his rookie year?
Yeah.
And so like
he missed some games. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was a as sizable a chunk as Lonzo did this year. But you know, you could always look, you know, we both have computers in front of us. You could look this stuff up.
I'm looking it up.
But
now.
if Paul George is sitting there in that meeting room and he asks the question, well, how convinced are you that either of those guys can actually withstand an NBA season. Is that
something that I'm going to say? Absolutely. You know, Brandon Ingram is the most promising young player I've ever seen. And Lonzo Ball is somehow even more promising. And then, like, Rob Pelinka will start comparing Lonzo's knees to adamantium claws of Wolverine and, like, somehow make a Bible reference to.
He has literally the most biblical knees I've ever seen.
To finish that filibuster, Brandon Ingram set 79 games in his rookie year. So,
really good.
Almost all of them.
Yeah, almost all of them. So, again, so I would say then Magic could say with Ingram, yeah. And we might just say it's kind of a glitchy thing with Lonzo.
So I'll be the first person to tell you that groin tears, they do linger. But I don't think, like, Brandon Ingram, you know, like, NBA players get better health care than, like, you and I get and stuff like, and they're better recoverers and better athletes. And so I think, like, his groin injury, those aren't the things that you usually see become chronic for NBA players.
No.
So I'm not that, like, he had to sit out some time with that, but I'm not really that concerned that that's going to be a permanent thing for him.
Yep. We're going to take a quick second here. When we come back, we'll wrap this conversation with a bow and send you guys into another off day.
We are not sending anyone into another off day. The Lakers play again tonight as of when this podcast drops against
San Antonio
Spurs at home, at least, I guess.
All right, we'll get ready for another loss.
We record this. We don't know who's going to be back for this one, but from the sound of Luke tonight, it doesn't sound like Lonzo and Ingram are going to be in.
No, I don't think either of those guys.
And second night of a back to back with guys that haven't played huge minutes most of the season, aren't like totally used to that wear and tear.
Yeah.
So against the Spurs, who are like a machine and could just call up their G League team and magically have them beat an NBA team randomly.
Yeah, that's probably this game probably won't go very well.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those ones where, like, I'm glad this is my job now to watch these games.
Yeah, I wouldn't be watching if I wasn't paid to.
But you guys should, because please, or at least just like listen to the episode,
or like, just download it. Like, you could put us on mute and download it and listen.
I think they measure like listen length now on iTunes too. So just play it the whole way through. Like, play it for your dog when you leave the house or something.
There you go.
Yeah,
your dog's.
If they come
podcast.
Back and they're crying, that was Anthony's fault. I'm sorry.
The official podcast of the dogs that people own all over the world.
Yeah, the official Lakers dog. Podcast of Dog Island or Isle of Dogs. Sorry. Topical reference.
Just never ever hit pause.
Oh.
Do you get it?
There's a dog that just yelped somewhere.
It was mine. No, it was not my dog. She's fine. She's wearing a cone of shame right now, but she's fine.
Oh.
All right. Callie. I guess we'll wrap up on this, and this will be a shorter show because I don't feel like talking about this anymore. We can't really stretch it any further. But but the Kuzma plays well. I found myself rooting against the Lakers last night. Did you find yourself rooting against the Lakers?
No, because I don't really root for games.
Spock, you're the worst. I'm trying to filibuster. I'm trying to get us to 20 minutes long here.
Explain why you rooted against the Lakers.
Maybe. All right, good call. So the Lakers were playing the Jazz, who were a spot behind the Oklahoma City Thunder heading into last night's games. The Thunder lose to the Warriors, and in losing to the Jazz, the Lakers forced the Thunder to slide down a spot in the standings. And look, frankly, the further they slide in the Western Conference standings, getting ready for these playoffs, the more easily the Lakers get to sell to Paul George, hey, you're playing alongside Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony's waterlogged corpse, but that's about all as you can look for out there in Oklahoma City with their one freeway. And all you're playing for now is to be eliminated in the first round of the playoffs by probably the Portland Trailblazers. God, I don't want them to play the Portland Trailblazers. I think they could beat them. That would not
but
be good.
But Anthony pretending to be Magic Johnson, what about the fact that you lost 13 of your last 15 games?
Well, the Thunder might lose 4 of their last 7 games. So
yeah, that's true. And like the Thunder have real things on the line and are not that banged up. Like, they're missing, you know, obviously not having Roberson is a big thing. Like, that kind of took them out of any realistic shot to upset Golden State or the Rockets. But to be a competitive playoff team, no. Like, they can play better than this. With the talent on their roster, you would think they would be better than this, and they just aren't, because Carmelo Anthony has not realized that he is a well-done steak yet.
The Thunder right now are sitting at 34 wins. They are tied with the Timberwolves and the Pelicans in the, you know, in the 6, 7, 8 spot in the playoffs. The Denver Nuggets have 35 wins. We need to root like crazy that the Nuggets slide in and the Thunder slide out. That, I think, if the Thunder don't make the playoffs, the Lakers get Paul George. I'm willing to, that's my, I will predict that. That if the Thunder don't make the playoffs, if they don't make the postseason, the Lakers get Paul George, and all is well in Lakerland. But if the Thunder get in and they stay here at the sixth spot and they play against the Portland Trailblazers, I actually think I like the Thunder over the Trailblazers.
Yeah, the Blazers are kind of gimmicky to me, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they rely really heavily on Dame Lillard making insane shots after you jinx him like crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As long as I don't watch that first round series and tweet anything about Damian Lillard, I don't see how they win that. Somebody's going to like pull this podcast up to him and show it to him, and he's going to average 40 down the stretch of the season.
I kind of want, yeah, we need to hope that the Thunder slide down to the 7 or 8 spot and face either Houston or Golden State.
Yeah, and just get, like, they like, what's best for Lakers fans is that they just get walloped. Like,
yeah, while Russell Westbrook, like, screams at everybody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just completely get the floor wiped with them. And then Paul George is going to be like, you would think, well, you know, like, this kind of sucks, and I need to maybe go somewhere where we have a chance to beat these guys at some point. And the Lakers with LeBron, all of a sudden, let's start to look like a pretty good option.
You know what's here's a hot take that people will freak out about that I actually believe.
Okay.
If the Lakers get Paul George, the Lakers will finish with a better record and be better in the playoffs than the Thunder will next year.
Damn.
How about that?
Now, we should start calling it Anthony's hot takes.
Yeah, but I actually believe mine. Yours are all satire. All right, we made it to 20 minutes. Yay!
Woo! We didn't even take some time to like talk about how like not upset we were about people tweeting today and things. Like, I guess we don't have what it takes to make it.
Everybody not named Amin Halhassan and Nate Duncan, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.